Damon plays John Nicholson in the 6-part radio adaptation by John Manship White of the novel by H.G. Wells. The War of the Worlds, Part 4. The Black Smoke.
I've already recounted many episodes of the War of the Worlds in which I was lucky or unlucky enough to take part. I've told how, with my chief assistant Ogilvy, I watched the flashes on Mars from my observatory. How a few months later, a falling star landed near my home in Surrey. How Ogilvy and Stent, the astronomer royal, became too inquisitive and paid a terrible penalty. I've told you, too, what I saw of the destruction of Weybridge by the heat ray, and how the artillery and the tank corps landed a shell fair and square on the cowl of the leading fighting machine. Fighting machines descended immediately on Weybridge, Shepperton and Chertsey, methodically wiping out the 12-pounders with the ghostly and devastating heat ray. And as I fled from them along the bank of the river, I tripped and fell right in their path as they carried off the shattered wreckage of their companion, stumbled and sprawled in front of them, expecting to be crushed out of existence in a hideous instant. Gigantic steel foot missed my skull by inches, and the metal monsters passed over me and away. And I waded downstream out of that blazing holocaust, numb and shuddering and dazed. I went perhaps half a mile without seeing a sign of a human being. And then, faintly from somewhere out of sight, I heard a voice chanting monotonously.
The great and terrible day of the Lord, when men shall fall upon the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them and hide them.
And as I turned to bend in the river, I saw him, sitting on the bank, his face white and streaked with dirt, and his cassock in shreds.
You know where I could get any water?
Water?
Yes, I'm parched. I mean, the river's all churned out. It's all mud and froth and blood.
Friend, what does it mean? What do these things mean? Why have they been permitted to come water. To pass?
Water, could
what
you tell me where I could
find... What terrible sin have we committed? I was in the middle of morning service. Fire and earthquake.
You're the only person I've seen for the last half hour. You must be about the last two civilians left around here. The whole area is evacuated by now. Yes, well, I suppose I might as well sit down. I feel worn out. Oh. Oh, that's better. Peaceful here.
All our work undone. Missions, Sunday schools, everything.
I suppose I can find some water later.
The church, rebuilt 3 years ago, swept out of existence.
Thank heavens I got my wife away to the coast before it started. With any luck, she's in France by now.
The smoke of the burning goeth up forever and ever.
Look, if you can't tell me where there's any water, what about telling me how far we are from Sunbury?
What are these Martians? Why has the earth been given over to
Look,
them?
Look, can't you stop babbling for a moment and answer a simple question? How far are we from Sunbury?
Sunbury?
Yes, Sunbury. S-U-N-B-U-R-Y. Sunbury.
There were nearly 100 people in the congregation.
Oh, buck up, man. There's still hope.
They are pitiless. They are invulnerable.
They're not, you know. The tank smashed one of their machines up an hour ago.
Huh?
I expect help's already being organized. Look, the best thing we can do is head for Kingston or Richmond, say. They won't be able to rove around just when they feel like it once everyone's alert and properly mobilized. But as we were walking back to the road,
we saw the struggle take a sinister turn. Another sickening lurch into nightmare. The parson and I were walking down the main road on the crest of St. George's Hill with a magnificent view spread out below us when a band of fighting machines came into view in the valley.
Look, look, down there, see? Fighting machines. Two or three. No, there are four of them. Look.
Four.
Yes. And look up there. Jets. There must be a dozen of them. Now, they'll have cannon and napalm.
Yes.
Look, they've caught it. Good and strong. Walk slap into it. They're not getting it all their own way for a change. Look, they hit one. One of the fighting machines.
Yes.
See it?
Yes.
Kill him. He's toppling. The wretched devil. Right on your ugly metal face. Blown you to blazes.
The heat ray. They're using the heat ray.
Oh, my God.
They're shooting them down. One after the other. The rest of them fled.
If we can't use aircraft, what can we use?
An atom bomb. Hey, look! Look over there!
Yes?
See, there are four more of the things.
Oh, the Valley of the Shadow.
They seem to be having some sort of briefing. Seven of them, aren't there? Hmm. I wonder what they're up to.
They've stopped hooting, too.
Something's up. Look. Look, you see the four new ones? They're carrying something. Hmm. Can you see what it is?
Well, some new and even more terrible scourge for our sinful backs. The angel with the flaming
sword.
It's
sort of a black tube they've got. Mm-hmm. Yes, and look, the four new ones are handing one each to the others, you see?
That's strange. I haven't seen those before.
An engine of destruction.
They're deploying. Look at them. I'm damned if they aren't taking up regular positions. Looks like a definite line of concentration.
Perhaps it's London they're after.
Good God, look at that. Another four. On the left there, see? Crossing the river below Sunbury.
Indeed, a fearful sight.
Well, the tanks will be waiting for them. Must be thousands of tanks, wherever there's a scrap of cover. They'll have guns behind every house.
They're waiting. Standing still and waiting.
Yeah. 11 of them. A great glittering arc. They must have a front at least 12 miles long by now. Look, there's Weybridge this end. And I... Over there, that's... Send, isn't it? That village?
Yes.
I don't much like the look of it. Why don't they advance? What are they waiting for? Go on, go on. Go on, damn you, move. Go on, march, they're waiting for you.
They're waving something high in the air.
It says black tubes.
What have they done?
They've fired something. It looks like a canister of steel, as far as I can make out. They're large things, anyway. They're not shells, because they're just lobbing them.
Oh, they're moving forward.
It's a funny thing. The explosion came when the canisters were fired. Why wasn't there a bang when they hit the ground?
Moving forward. The wine press of the Lord.
Where the devil are the guns? Why haven't they come into action? The Martians must be in range by now.
A peal of victory. The hosts of the evil
What's
one have prevailed.
What's happened?
Look yonder.
Where? What is it?
Black smoke.
Green mushrooms on the top of it. Spread all over the woods and the hillsides.
Deadly vapor, coiling and pouring upwards.
Great black clouds.
And the smoke of their burning ascendeth forever and ever.
It's keeping low. It doesn't seem to be diffusing like proper gas. It's hanging together in great banks, you see, look. Crawling down the slopes. Must be heavy, like a liquid.
Crawling, like a serpent over the earth.
And so it was. A creeping gas, floating reluctantly before the wind, seeping into ditches and watercourses and collecting there, and finally sinking into the earth in the form of an insoluble dust. The black smoke. Choking, stifling, killing quickly, used with methodical precision, fired in shining canisters into every patch of cover where guns might have lurked, smoking them out like wasps' nests. And where the guns were openly displayed, the heat ray. And still they came. A fourth cylinder, a brilliant green meteor, fell into Bushy Park. I dragged the parson into a car and we pushed on, making for Leatherhead, traveling as far as we could judge away from the Martians and the black smoke.
The day of judgment is at hand.
We drove down empty roads, hugging the curb. Where had everyone gone? To London? To the north? The west? Anywhere to get out of it. To get away from the Martians. It gave me the feeling that the parson and I were the last men left on Earth. I was sick and tired of the parson and his eternal moaning. The poor devil was scared out of his wits, so, like a fool, I let him come with me. We had to stop now and again and hide from scouting Martians, but we got to Sunbury across blackened roads littered with huddled bodies coated with black dust.
Lost.
It was like Pompeii.
Lost.
We went through Hampton Court with the cindery bodies of deer beneath the chestnuts and reached Twickenham, which was untouched by the heat ray or the black smoke, and with bewildered people standing about in the streets. We crossed Richmond Bridge. Petersham and Ham were ablaze. Just outside Kew, the hull of a fighting machine suddenly loomed over us above a house. If the Martian inside had looked down, we'd have been sunk. But he was busy chasing a flock of little black figures running across the field near a power station. The Martian picked them up with his long, thin, delicate steel arms and threw them into the great metallic carrier projecting behind him.
Woe, woe, woe to you, Weybridge and Shepperton, Sunbury and Kew, stricken of the Lord.
Listen, how do you expect me to concentrate on the road?
Everything scorched, blackened, ashy. Men dead, burned about the head or shrouded in black powder. The Seldomer, the field of blood.
Look, I'm going to stop the car so we can rest for a while. There's no point in exhausting ourselves. We're getting careless. I nearly nabbed just then.
Golgotha. The place of a skull.
This'll do. One of these houses. What about that one over there, eh? Looks fairly promising. I'll drive right up to it, so we won't be so easily spotted. We'll break in and see what we can lay our hands on in the way of food.
In you go. Easy.
Oh, thanks, Phil.
Pilot glass?
Yes, yes.
Right. You all right?
Yes.
Now, where are we? Oh, kitchen. That's good. Let's have a look. Ah, fine, the pantry. Well stocked up, too.
I think I'll sit down, friend.
That's right, you do. We've got a long, hard pull ahead of us. To save our energies.
Yes.
Our car's getting low in petrol, too. Well, we'll stop at the next garage and fill up. No charge, no one on the pumps. Now, let's see, what's the inventory? I wonder who this house belonged to. Here we are. Two loaves. An uncooked steak, by Jove. Ah, and half a good-looking ham as well. We'll have a nice thick slice of that. Here we are, light ale. Going for about a couple of dozen here. Gin, scotch, vodka. Wine, too. We'll drink a couple of bottles apiece and be damned to the Martians.
What's that sound?
Well, that's not very interesting. There's 8 or 9 packets of biscuits. They're useful. What's this? Soup. And we've got 4 tins here.
Thank you.
flare.
Don't move. The floor's... floor's covered with smashed crockery from the dresser.
That green glare.
It can't move without making a noise. And they're outside.
They?
The Martians, you fool. That was the fifth rocket.
Yes.
Came down bang on top of us. I've got to get this on my back.
Anyway, what are we whispering for? It's all right. They must be still inside the canister.
What should we do?
Oh, my forehead. Wet. Blood.
What should we do?
Wait a minute. I can't think properly.
Oh, God.
Looks as if we're buried under the ruins.
Oh, God. Have mercy on us.
Oh, God. We'll just have to lie low and stick it out.
Oh, Lord, pity a miserable sinner. Pardon my offences.
We scarcely moved till dawn came. The light filtered in, not through the window, which remained black, but through a triangular crack between a broken beam and a heap of bricks. The window had been burst in by garden mould, which flowed over the tables and chairs and was sprayed all around us. Outside, the soil was banked high against the house. As dawn grew clearer, we saw through the crack the tripod legs of a fighting machine standing sentinel over the crater. The Martians had by now clambered out of the cylinder and were busy in the pit. I realized that they intended to follow the usual Martian practice of reinforcing the crater as a base of operations. We lay there for hours, among the shattered crockery and the dust from the fallen plaster. My head was splitting. I was shivering. Intermittently, I dozed off. But in what must have been the late afternoon, I crawled painfully into the kitchen. And the curate gave up his eternal lamentations for a while and crawled after me.
Just as I thought. Most of the pantry roof's fallen in. Practically all that food and drinks underneath is damn lovely. Precious little left.
Where is it? What's left? Give it to me.
No. We may be cooped up here for days. I'm going to ration it out.
No, where's my share?
We'll leave the food where it is.
Friend,
we'll eat it at regular intervals. We've got to discipline ourselves. Three bottles of burgundy still in.
Oh, where's my share?
Get your hands away.
At least let me have one.
Push down, will you?
No, please.
We eat in an hour, not the four.
The wine. I want some of the wine.
No, keep quiet. You won't get any at all.
It's mine. I want it.
Can't you stop behaving like a child?
As it is yours, I want something to eat. I know you're going to keep my share. You've no right to. I won't let you. Let me have it.
If you put your hands on any of that food and drink before I tell you, you'll be for it.
How can you hurt me when the Lord himself has lifted up his hand against me?
I'll hurt you all right if you don't show some guts and common sense. We may be stuck here for a fortnight for all we know. We'll eat in the morning and we'll eat just before it gets dark. And in between, you lie still and behave yourself. Keep your stupid mouth shut.
We're going to die. I know. We're going to die.
And we'll put up the biggest fight we can first.
I will lift up my eyes under the Lord.
I am not joking. Getting on my nerves. Now, you go on canting like this, and I'll throttle you. You want to get us both caught?
Friend, you are strong in spirit, but I am weak.
I'm scared to death. Anybody would be. Something to be ashamed of.
Get a grip on yourself, man. No sense in giving in.
Here. Here's a bottle of scotch. See if that'll give you some courage. Now, you can drink down to the bottom of the neck, no more. You can have another drink when we eat later on.
Oh, how do I open it?
God, don't be so helpless. Give it to me. Here. There you are.
The judgment of the Lord. The last days. When there shall be darkness over the face of the earth. The days.
I left him mumbling to himself, clutching his bottle and drinking greedily. I could write that bottle of whiskey off. I crawled towards the triangular crack in the kitchen wall. I took the hatchet from beside the kitchen stove with me, though heaven knows what use a hatchet would have been against a fighting machine. I was trembling violently, Chiefly because I was so angry with that imbecile. He wouldn't stop pestering me. I hadn't had my eye to the crack 10 minutes before he lay down beside me in the earth on the floor and started digging me in the back.
What's there? What are you looking at?
Nothing to get excited about. Now, keep calm.
No, but what is it? What can you see?
A cylinder. It's about 30 feet down, as far as I can judge. Oh, it splashed up the earth around the hole like mud being hit with a hammer. It heaped all over the houses.
Well, I'll be in great danger.
Seems as though we're in a sort of buried box. There's just this slit, and there's tons of earth on top of us. The upper floors must have gone completely. We're hanging over the verge of a crater.
Yes, to feel this.
Pit's being enlarged by a sort of metallic spider, sending up great clouds of green smoke. The whole crater's lit up with a green glare.
Yes, yes.
Stop nudging me, can't you?
Yes, yes, but are the Martians coming towards us?
There are three of them on the bank over there. Oh, they look weird with the sunset behind them. Just lying about, panting and waving their feelers. They look pretty feeble. You'd never associate them somehow with those efficient machines.
What are they doing?
Oh, for God's sake, lie still. Stop making a ruddy nuisance of yourself.
No. Let me look. It's my turn now. I want to look.
What?
Look, it's not fair. You're keeping it all to yourself. I've got a right to look at them, too.
All right. Come on, then. Be careful. Don't make a noise changing place.
I've drunk the whiskey. Most of it, anyway.
I thought you would. Huh? Well, you'll just have to go thirsty for a couple of days.
I won't.
Oh, yes, you will. You think you're going to guzzle the rest of the stuff as well?
Friend, I fear you're a very harsh, uncharitable man.
Friend, you're a very flabby, self-centered pain in the neck.
I never listen to vulgar abuse. These Martians, they look so inferior to us men. God's handiwork. Mere boot priests.
Speaking as a mere scientist, then, I must say I can't see any signs of a marked inferiority. Compared with us, we'll be lucky if they don't annihilate us.
This scene before my eyes, it's like something from the Revelation. And when the fourth seal was opened, I beheld a pale horse. All right. And he that sat upon him, his name was Death, and Hades followed with him.
Keep your voice down, will you?
And there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the field. What in heaven's name is this?
What's the matter? What's going on?
Men. One being dragged into the pit.
Keep still, can't you?
No.
Here, get out of the way.
Now,
carefully now. Come on. Move over. Stop that. Godson, get back in the pantry and keep quiet. And don't go near the food. Or I'll make you wish you'd never been born.
At first, I couldn't make out what had frightened him. Twilight had fallen and the stars were little and faint. And the pit was lit by the lurid green fire from whatever it was that they were doing. Everything was a flickering green mixed with black shadows. Then, I heard them. The prisoners. They were in the steel carrier, like a gigantic fisherman's basket on the back of one of the Sentinel fighting machines. I could just catch their voices, far away in the air. At first, I wasn't sure whether the machine actually contained a Martian. But as the green flames swirled and cleared, I glimpsed the oily gleam of his skin and the brightness of his yellow eyes. Then a long tentacle whipped over the shoulder of the machine into the cage, hunched on its back. It rummaged about for a minute. Then something was lifted high against the sky, a black shape against the starlight. I saw the loose, flabby, slavering mouth of the Martian mumbling and working. Then the black shape was brought downwards, and I saw by the green brightness that it was a man. He vanished behind the mound.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where are you?
I want to drink.
drink.
Have you hidden yourself?
I want a drink. I want another drink.
Burgundy again,
are you? It's mine.
Come on, give me that bottle.
It's mine.
Come on.
No, it's
off.
Mine.
My God,
no, keep away from me. You keep away from me. It is just. Oh, God. It is just.
Shut up.
On me and mine be the punishment.
Shut up, shut up.
We have sinned. We have fallen short.
Shut up, you damn fool.
Ah, there was poverty.
Do you want to kill us?
A presence of a poor and needy.
God's sake, I'll make you shut up.
I must bear my witness. Woe, woe to the
inhabitants of the earth. Will you shut up for the last time?
The word of the Lord is upon me.
The last time
I must
you
bear my witness, I go.
Come away from me, you crazy fool. Too long
delay.
A dripping Martian limb curled through the triangular slit. Behind it, I saw a sort of glass plate with a dark yellow eye peering through. I bolted into the scullery and pressed myself against the far wall. Through the dim doorway, I saw the steel tentacle twisting and turning about. A Martian inside one of the metal spiders had heard the parson shouting. The tentacle hooked itself into the dead body and dragged it roughly through the slit. I held my breath in fear. I stood rigid. Then the whip-like tentacle snaked back again through the slit and began fumbling about in the kitchen. It waved towards me, tapping the walls, the floor, the ceiling. A black worm switching its blind head to and fro. It swayed across the room, poked its sightless way through the scullery door, and groped and quivered in the air in front of my face, inches away, nearer, nearer, nearer. Paralyzed with terror, turned into a block of stone. Then the thing plunged downwards, flickered close to my legs, brushed the littered floor, and touched the toe of my shoe.